It's episode 116 of the Nerdcast, and I have my number.
Yeah, there was no like kind of pause or pseudo pause or anything. It was just straight into it. I like it.
It's because I had it up and ready to go.
Greetings, my friend. This is the brain of TV's Pinky in the Brain. You are listening to the Nerdcast, but what you're really listening to are subliminal messages saying, I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. Yes!
Well, I mean, you know, still prepared. I'm not trying to take anything away from your preparation.
So, Adam, Aaron, Tyler, Iggy, all here for another fun episode of the Nerdcast by Project Nerd. I think Tyler likes it with the words in between Nerdcast and Project Nerd there. So we are back from C2E2, actually a couple weeks removed as we didn't record last week, of course. Con crud and all the other fun things of getting back to life. But we have a million things to talk about this week.
No, just one.
Just one. So Tyler and Aaron, obviously.
I mean, at least two.
Tyler and Aaron are going to be polar opposites on the movie before we even get in details from it. But obviously, we've all seen Batman vs. Superman. Adam's got some fantasy movie league to talk about. And there's actually quite a few other fun things happening. However, at the same time, Aaron does have an interesting treat for us all that I think she wants to share straight off the bat.
Lucky.
Are we sharing right away? All right.
Let's do it.
So I was the lucky one who got the Geek Fuel box this month. And I get to just go ahead and open it right now.
Go for it. While you're getting it open, reminder, geekfuel.com/projectnerd. So if you do head over to Geek Fuel, definitely put in the Project Nerd URL. Show them that we sent you. But yeah, we rotate each month. And obviously it is Aaron's month. She's already wearing one of her Geek Fuel shirts that from previous months, I guess, if I can speak the English.
He speaks the good English, kids.
Shot of the boobs there. So
it was of the time machines.
There you go. But anyway, so yes, Geek Fuel's March box, which because we didn't record last week, we are about a week behind on. So yeah, go for it. Let's see what's in that thing.
All right. Ripping this one open. Awesome. Straight away, I see this handsome devil, the Geek Fuel magazine. It is the most amazing actor I've ever seen in my life, Batfleck.
So handsome that she almost forgot his name there.
His name is Batfleck. He is the armored Batman. And right here on the flip side, I see the Superman, the one and only, who has ever and ever will be Superman. You guys,
no.
You can't say anything. This is my box. It's Henry Cavill, okay? He's the Superman. You shut your mouths. Anyway, I'm looking forward to reading this later. Just going to be all sorts of up in your face with this box. Mm. Okay. I'm really excited about this. It's a pop vinyl figure, and it looks like it's DC related, so I'm really excited. I'm going to bust into this, right? I can't wait to figure out who it is. It's Wonder Woman.
It's the Superman. Not Christopher Reeves, but the Superman, Henry Cavill, right?
I'm hoping that it's either Wonder Woman or Batman. If it's Superman, I guess that's cool, but I mean, Superman's awesome, but yes! Look, I got Wonder Woman! All for me, Wonder Woman.
That's adorable.
I'm keeping that one, like, forever. You know, I should put, like, a little chain around it and, like, wear it on my necklace, like, every day.
Okay. That is pretty cool, though. So I'm assuming it's a mystery box, and you could end up with any three of the main characters?
Actually, there's 12 of them.
Oh.
So there's 12 different DC characters that you can collect. You can collect them all. And it's a secret every time. Although the Aquaman, I just noticed, looks a little intense. Okay. So here is the Geek Fuel shirt for this month. Pretty amazing. Go figure. It has some cool DC characters to round out this amazing, what's shaping up to be a DC box. And right here on the top, we have Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, and Aquaman. And I think that's Doomsday. What do you guys think? That guy? Down there at the bottom? Yeah?
I don't know DC guys so well.
Oh, whatever. Oh, goodness.
It's hard to peg him because the Doomsday I just saw this past weekend looks nothing like the Doomsday I'd remember from the comics. Well, eventually, I guess maybe he did a little. Anyways.
Trying to make him look realistic, yo.
Spoilers.
Ah, yeah. And then we have Dino Side. Did you like my radio DJ voice? Did I pull it off, Tyler? It's a downloadable game code for Dino Side on Steam. So, yeah. Going to have to check that out. Get into some Steam a little bit. And, oh, let's check out the poster because there's something really amazing at the bottom of this box and I can see the cover of it and I can't even pull it out yet. I'm going to show you guys at the very end.
That's what she said? Is that what you're mouthing over there, Adam?
I'll pull it out at the very end.
No, she got a poster. The poster boxes are the best boxes.
Look at this cool poster. Look how cute. That's frameable. Oh my goodness. Do you see that man's face? Do you see Adam's face? Because I do. He's really excited. Do you like that?
That poster? Who wouldn't like that?
I mean, happy birthday.
Whatever.
Happy birthday. It's even got a certificate of authenticity.
That was last month's poster that I've just...
God, I hate both of you.
All right, this right here. It's a really cool book. Oh my gosh, and it has Stan Lee on the cover. It's amazing, fantastic, incredible, a marvelous memoir. Look at that.
Turn it on its side again. How thick is that thing?
It's this thick.
Oh, okay. It seemed thicker when I first saw it.
Were you just rubbing your nipples? I thought you were rubbing your nipples.
I was telling you to turn it. I'm over here rubbing my nipples.
And, oh my gosh, look at this amazing book. Well, I'm going to have a lot to read, a lot to do, a lot to play with.
How is it that Wonder Woman gets the best boxes?
I always get the best boxes because I'm a lady.
All the shirts, anyways. So
she ends up all, yeah, she gets all the shirts for my boxes, anyways.
So projectnerd.com/geekfuel. No, let's go with geekfuel.com/projectnerd. Let's go to that URL and check that out. Again, the most you will pay for a single box is $24.95 shipped if you do just
one.
And as you can see from everything Aaron just had, that was definitely more than that. Yeah, I think it's
crazy.
$20 base price for a single month with $4.95 shipping. And of course, if you do 3 months, 6 months, a year, you can lower that, lower the subscription price as well as get some extra add-ons thrown in. But again, geekfuel.com/projectnerd. Aaron got this box. I think it's Tyler's turn next month, although Aaron, I guess, will get another shirt. So
Thank you, Tyler.
Aaron seems pretty pleased with it.
I'm going to start giving them to someone else.
You know what my shirt was last month? You can go to my page, any of them, but facebook.com/redstarcosplay and check out, it's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool shirt. You can go see it.
All right. So Geek Fuel box completed. We got that out of the way. So Aaron's not allowed to talk anymore, especially when we get to Batman versus Superman. But anyways, we will get to that a little bit, just a little bit. And I'm going to warn you ahead of time right now before we even get further in the episode, because at this point forward, you are warned. There be spoilers. There will be spoilers, especially when we get into the movie part of it. But I am not responsible for what Tyler and Aaron say leading up to that discussion, as we have seen in so many podcasts before. So I apologize ahead of time. But you are warned up front this time, not on the backside. I'm warning you up front. Spoilers. But before we even get into the details of Batman versus Superman, let's talk about that impressive haul this weekend where they basically told the critics just whatever and just went out and did some dirty work.
Should we talk about the food in Chicago first?
Or the box office that I already led into, but whichever.
Okay, go ahead.
So anyways, fifth highest grossing opening weekend of all time. Highest March opening weekend of all time. As of this point, already the highest March Monday of all time. Highest spring Thursday night of all time. And highest worldwide opening for a movie. Opening weekend for a movie all time. After a week of just getting slammed by critics, it went out there and just made money. So the budget on the film, about $250 million. Advertising, probably another $250 million when you really think about it. But if that's the case, it's already made its money back. 3 day weekend was just south of $500 million. By the time that Monday cleared, it had cleared that half a billion mark already worldwide opening weekend, which is impressive when you think you can count the amount of movies that worldwide are over $1 billion on your hands. Like, so the fact that it's halfway there in one weekend is fairly impressive. It helps that not many movies these days open across all the big markets on the same weekend. I will give it that. I will. Yeah,
because it's domestic. It's domestic 4-day. While impressive, is not like crazy out there. Like, it's top 10 all time, but it's, you know, there's plenty of movies that best it.
No, it's fifth all time opening weekend.
For worldwide, not domestic.
So behind.
If you do its 4-day opening, it's behind Star Wars, Jurassic World, Marvel's Avengers, Avengers 2, Harry Potter, Deathly Hallows 2, Iron Man 3, and The Dark Knight.
Okay, so worldwide, the first four you listed, it's behind. And then domestically
behind. But domestically, it's behind quite a few more.
Which, top 10, I'm sure, considering all the bad buzz this week, they'll take it.
Oh, yeah, Warner Brothers will take that every time.
That's but now they won't learn from their mistakes.
So, speaking of mistakes, I didn't set my fantasy movie league this week, and I know Adam wanted to
talk. Wah, wah, wah. Yeah, no, you didn't. And I believe I messaged you saying...
You totally did.
I messaged everybody and said, hey, make sure to set your lineups this week because you don't want to miss that sweet, sweet Batman versus Superman money. And two of you...
Two of us on the podcast that got messaged.
You don't have Batman versus Superman in your
lineup.
It means you didn't set your lineups. And you get what you
had. I had the worst moment. I bashed my head against a wall when I had the moment when I realized it. It was like... Saturday morning, and I was like, oh shit. And then I literally bashed my head against a wall.
Well, I mean, that's a
little. Literally, she means literally, like as in literally custard and ice cream are the same thing. Obviously.
You can tell by I just wanted to see how many times I could throw literally onto this podcast.
I'm upset about the final tabulations yesterday because based on like as of like Sunday afternoon, I was still going to win the weekend. And then the final tabulation came through and gave Adam the win. Although I am still beating him.
Wait. That last part got a little quiet at the end there. Go ahead and say that a little louder for everybody.
You won the week.
Okay, thank you.
I'll give you that. I'm still beating you for the season. So
you are. That's okay. I'm going for that most number of wins and still not win the league. Cause that's really what I like. The most weekly wins without winning the league.
As I discussed a couple weeks ago, I was right where I needed to be and right where I normally was. And after just a few weeks in, without even a win, I was in the number one spot. I'm now 6 out of 7 in the league. And the only reason I'm not seventh is because Sarah doesn't set any screens anymore. So
this is the week to not, you know, fuck it up.
I've already set for this week. I've already got Batman versus Superman money on week two. Missed out on that big money from week one, but I'm already set up for week two. Judging by anything with Aaron, I have a feeling that'll put me back in front of her at least.
I'm going to make a big yo. It's going to happen.
You're going to make a big yo what? What?
I'm going to make it big.
Okay.
And then comma yo.
Oh, okay.
That's there's punctuation right. In there.
I'm sorry.
Right.
Anyway, so Fantasy Movie League. Aaron didn't even wait till the last 5 minutes. She quit early this time. So... Fantasy Movie League, Adam, the big win this week. Tyler leading the week.
Anne is in first place.
Tyler's in first place. Tyler's in second.
Adam. That's all that matters. I'm meeting Adam.
Oh, okay. Okay,
my bad. I'm meeting all three of you. That's really all.
You only say that because Anne's not here right now. If Anne was here, you would be like...
I'm okay losing to Anne and Jared. I'm not okay losing to the three of you.
We've discussed this too many times. Mm. But outside of Batman vs. Superman's impressive haul, Zootopia remained pretty strong, only a 37% drop considering that huge hit for Batman vs. Superman, which, although had very dark moments, we saw once again a lot of kids going to these movies. I know when I was in the theater, I chose not to take my little girl because of obvious reasons, but didn't matter because there was other kids her age there. And I've seen a number of, again, comments just like we saw with Deadpool. So that obviously took into Zootopia a little bit, as well as the rounding out the top five. We saw, of course, the Big Fat Greek Wedding 2 finished at number 3, which a sequel this late. That's pretty good, especially it didn't have a lot of I don't know, maybe we weren't in the right spot to see the marketing, but I didn't see a lot of marketing for it. And then tied at fourth to round out the five was Miracle from Heaven over Easter weekend, of course. And then the Divergent series, both pulling in just under 10 million. So not terrible for an Easter weekend. But again, impressive haul, a lot more than probably expected, especially with all those bad reviews for Batman versus Superman. All right. So before we go into it, we'll talk about other things. I was given a pause. I was going to wait if Aaron was going to throw a jab first or Tyler was going to throw the jab. Didn't know where it was going to go. So we will discuss this on the back part of the podcast. Before we go into it, a lot of other movie news. Speaking of equally bad, you know, childhood's soft spot, somewhat hurting, the new Ninja Turtles 2 trailer dropped this weekend as well with Batman versus Superman. Adam's already got a grimacing look on his face.
No, I can't do it. I don't know. You know, I like the addition of Casey Jones. I like Stephen Amell. Maybe I'm hoping it's better in the movie. I wasn't feeling it though in the trailer. And then Rocksteady and Bebop. I just don't know.
I didn't seem so bad. And Krang. My concern with Krang is, of course, I'll reference that interview till the day I die, probably, with Michael Bay saying,
Did Michael Bay say something about Krang?
Oh, are you being a smartass right now?
I don't know what he said. Did he say something about it?
I really can't tell if Tyler's being a smartass. He's doing a pretty good blank face.
I don't know. Did he
shut up? So
he referenced Krang.
Anyways,
in an interview at some point,
I'll bring it up again. He doesn't know. I'll bring it again since Tyler obviously missed the past few podcasts since I've referenced it every time since it's happened.
Oh, have you talked about this before?
So, anyways, Aaron, any thoughts on the new Ninja Turtles trailer?
I thought it actually kind of looked cool. Actually, to be honest.
You guys are laughing at her.
I liked Rocksteady and Bebop.
You guys are laughing at her, but to be honest, the trailer does do a good job of capturing the Ninja Turtles. I think the reason we all kind of lock up immediately is we know Michael Bay is attached. We already saw what happened with the reboot. But when you really take the trailer for what it is, you're getting the turtles acting a little bit turtles, except for the "we're four brothers that love this city" part, you know. But other than that, the Rocksteady and Bebop part seems like, I mean, it feels out of the cartoons. You see Krang kind of shows up. It looks, I think, looks impressive for the CGI version of him. I don't know. When Aaron's saying that, and then Stephen Amell's cameo, or not cameo part, but his introduction part, was kind of fun.
I think the biggest thing is that, yeah, right. First of all, I never saw the first one that Michael Bay did. I have no interest in seeing it. It looked horrible. I don't want to see it. It looks terrible.
But you're going
to
see the second one?
No, I don't necessarily care. The first one looked so bad, it made me want to throw up. This one, like me saying that it looks good, I'm not trying to be contrary. Like me saying that it looks good means a lot because I really despised what I thought the first one was going to be.
Okay.
Like, I want to be mad at you for, you know, judging things.
Shut up.
But it did look pretty bad.
Right, it did look bad, and in fact, it was bad. So it's hard to. But
the second one also looks pretty bad.
I'm really good at judging things, and this second one doesn't look as bad.
You're literally the worst person ever at judging anything.
I am not literally the worst person. No.
So literally,
your opinions are bad, and you should feel bad.
Literally, this trailer looks better than the first one, but I think, judging the fact that we already know, one, it's a sequel, and it's very hard to make a sequel better than a first one. And if the first one was already that bad, I think Adam said it best, and just don't get your hopes up.
Well, I mean, you bring a valid point. Usually the sequels are worse, but when the first one's that bad, I mean, is there really anywhere else to go? By default, it almost has to be better, right?
It's true.
Sometimes the sequels are better.
True. Speaking of sequels, other announcements this week, Kingsman 2, anybody? The Golden Circle. Aaron, I think we can get you on board for that one too. Be all on the same page for that.
The Golden Circle, huh?
Yes.
You had me at Kingsman 2.
Yeah. So Matthew Vaughn, of course, shared an exclusive with, I want to say it was Entertainment Weekly, I don't know. I'm the one who typed the story up for our website. I should know this probably, but shared an exclusive, shared a couple promo images or concept images. Statesman, the U.S. service that's going to be head by Halle Berry in the sequel. But of course, you get Eggsley back. And Matthew Vaughn said he was hesitant to take on a sequel because he felt like they did so much in the first one. Where do you go with the second one? Once they put the script together, he felt it was good enough that he wanted to stay on and direct it as well. And he promises you're going to get a lot of fun, action, laughs, everything like you did with the first one without it repeating itself. And he made it very clear. You will not see anything like the church scene again. You will not see anything like the same exact scenes. We're not going to just repeat ourselves. So that's also exciting too.
I'm on board. Yeah.
So is Samuel L. Jackson coming back for the sequel?
Yeah, him and Colin Firth both are going to be in it.
Sweet, that's all I care about.
And Michael Caine is going to be in it.
Oh, and that lady with the sweet blade legs.
Yep, all the people, anybody. In fact, all those millionaires that paid money to not die and then died, they're all in it as well.
Okay.
If you saw their head explode in the first one, they're going to be in the second one.
All right.
In her defense, they kind of did it in a funny animated way, so you don't,
know.
Floated with happiness, right? So
this isn't that kind of movie.
We weren't with spoilers already, right? We just didn't say they were for the first Kingsman. So, but that's all. That's a year out. That's over a year now. We're at about 13, 14 months. So, super exciting movie. I think was one of the sleeper hits of 2015. Not just with us, but with many people. And then, of course, it made our top 10 movies of 2015. Obviously, because it was fantastic. So, if you haven't seen it, Kingsman: The Secret Service, go check it out and be ready. I think it says June or July of 2017 is Kingsman 2. The Golden Circle, and they wouldn't allude to what that meant. So other movie news that to be excited about, Luke Besson's working on a new sci-fi film based on Valerian and Laureline. So it is Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets, and they released some concept images. And it's funny because being so involved in the cosplay community, the first place I saw those concept images were cosplayers saying, oh, we got new costumes. I don't know. Anybody else is excited for this?
Luke Besson films are usually very good and definitely very attractive. Like the way he frames his scenes, how he does his shots, phenomenal. So I'm excited. I'll end up going to see it.
I love Luke Besson. I don't know if all of his movies are usually necessarily good, but I'm on board. The production, some of the pictures don't look great, but I'm still going to check it out. So
exciting. So I don't know, more movie news there as I keep you in anticipation for Batman versus Superman discussion.
But nobody's in anticipation. Everybody's already heard it all over the internet. Everybody's probably like, Oh, Aaron probably is blindly in love with it because of Batfleck, and Tyler hates it and it's going to destroy
your. Everybody already knows those are y'all's opinions, and everybody knows what's coming. I think the reason.
No, they don't. I think, be in total agreement with Tyler.
I think the reason everybody's anticipating it is due to the fact that, well, they just want to see how you and Tyler fight about it. That's what the anticipation's for.
Maybe, maybe not.
But even though we're 2 weeks removed from C2E2 at this point, again, we didn't podcast last week, so Adam's holding up his C2E2 shirt there. I didn't know you picked it up, the Chicago flag one.
Yeah, man, I really liked it. They did a good job with it, I thought. Yes. So everybody wants to know it's a C2E2 exclusive. It's the Chicago flag, so the white flag with the blue bars and the red stars across the middle. And it's in the blue bars it says Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo, and then the red stars it says C2E2.
Why don't you just lean the camera down a little bit and then we'll pull the video from it? So put your
Aaron just wants chest shots all podcast long.
That's what I'm talking
about. No, it's a nice shirt. It's definitely, and of course, Pop always makes their stuff available online afterwards. Aaron's podcast with one of our cosplay friends that was up there, Joe Pride, went live earlier this week, and they talked a lot about C2E2 and Reed Pop in it.
Yeah, we basically just loved on Reed Pop the whole time. That's all it was.
I was giving her a chance for a plug there, and it was pretty weak. But anyways.
Oh, right.
They did a good job.
Yeah.
They did do a great job. Of course, Reed Pop leading the way with the cosplays, not consent signs, pushing that out there. The gender neutral bathrooms available this year. everything from, and you see so much amazing cosplay there. So you get the sexy, you get the sexy, you get the sexy, you get the over the top, unbelievable, which we'll talk on some of those, because there were some of the most impressive costumes I think I've seen in the 4 years we've gone to conventions and events. And then, of course, Sunday being Kids Day, then that's when all the, you know, the fun, the princessy stuff, the fun kid stuff comes out as well. But our guy, our man, Stephen K. Smith, we led up to it leading in, busted out his orc, took first prize for the North American part of the Crown Championship of Cosplay. Impressive orc. I mean, you guys.
The orc's fantastic.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous how good it is. Like, the attention to detail, the how good it looks from far away, how good it looks from, like, right next to it. Gorgeous. Absolutely.
Yeah, the detail on it is insane. The shield, the axe, the whole, everything about it's fantastic.
It looks like it literally walked out, of a video game.
That's the correct usage. This
I know.
It literally does look like it walked out of a
video game. I double used the word so I could emphasize.
So he won first, did for the North American version, then went to compete because now they've started pulling in the whole world. So they've already selected winners from other areas in the world, from other conventions, and then bring them over to compete there. And he took third place overall, which is an impressive haul too. So double prizes for him. But not even at the world level, just the North American competition, we talk about even able to make it on stage, our friends over at Malmy Studios with their Darkwing Duck. Casey Renee's, Rococo Bell Dress was fantastic. A number of other people we know up on stage or even just in the pre-judging. But then a couple other people too. And in one of the music videos, I'd have to find which one it is because there's so many music videos, cosplay music videos coming out of C2E2. But there is, you guys have to see, probably seen the pictures already, of the Transformer. And then, of course, of the Hulkbuster Iron Man. And there's a music video of them actually kind of fighting. So those two costumes were so epic in scale that the Hulkbuster Iron Man and the Transformer, just to walk past those. And it's crazy because we've seen, there's this guy from Indiana that's, I can't think of his name right now, but he's done the Bumblebee Transformer for a couple of years, and we've seen him at a number of shows. But, and not to take away from this, but this was even bigger and even larger in scale. And the only thing that stood up to it in terms of height and scope and everything like that was that Hulkbuster. And just to see them side by side at some points of the show was crazy.
Yeah, and those guys couldn't move. That was the funny thing. Whenever I saw them, there was just mob of people, and you just see, like, cameras up in the air and all sorts of stuff. It was nuts.
But even beyond that, I mean, we think about some of the groups we hang out with. So Nightmage skipping a spawn this year, which he has to make up with two spawns next year, C2E2, which wouldn't have mattered because, 2 years ago when he had Redemption spawn, he couldn't move at all. So now other people couldn't move. But leading the Apocalypse group, the Apocalypse and Four Horsemen, which was our first sponsored gallery you saw from the Portrait Dude show up in Project Nerd. So if you haven't seen it, head over to the website and check that out. But, ooh, those five, impressive there. And then the Kaz Awesome Studios, of course, led by their fearless leaders, the Wolfgars, the Warhammer 40K Space Marines. Oh, my goodness. Like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, when I saw them come, like, walking down to shoot with the Portrait Dude, I was like, no, they didn't do this. And then went up and it was perfect. Like, every single piece of armor was perfect and had amazing detail. Their weaponry was phenomenal. Like, I don't even know. I don't understand how they do it. It was so good.
Tyler, being a Warhammer 40K alumnus himself, was pretty impressed.
The Space Wolves were pretty amazing. I was on board with everything they were working with.
Wolfgar and Co., I mean, Kaz Awesome, that group, they work together to do so many amazing things at a large scale like that, especially in groups. But I don't think I've seen anything more impressive from them than this. That was the most impressive thing I've seen come out of that team.
It was definitely beautiful. I was certainly jealous. I want my own Space Wolf costume.
I feel like we could do one. Like, we could do a group for Project Nerd, but but at the, you know,
we like have like pots and pans on our shoulders.
You know those images where it's like cosplay goals and cosplay reality. Like, we might as well. Like,
duct tape.
Yeah.
No, we should definitely do that, though. Next year is plan the same costume that they're doing.
Yeah.
Do our own. Yeah. And then we could just be Tumblr that week. And people are like, oh, who are you cosplayed as? Oh, we're cosplayed as Tumblr. And
we'll just walk.
Pinterest reality. Right?
We'll just walk with them. We'll just be with them the whole time. Oh, we're part of this group. We're part of this.
We're cosplaying as them.
I ran out of time. I don't know. But C2E2, always massive, massive scale. And now that they're really embracing that Crown Championship cosplay competition and making it a worldwide thing, it just went even larger this year. And I can tell you what, I repeat it, in 4 years of us going to what a minimum of, I think the first year was what, 6 events. And then it's just gotten bigger each year. This was the most impressive in one single spot we've seen in terms of costume. But the real important thing to talk about with C2E2, beyond the cosplay, which we have galleries pouring on. We have 6 floor galleries already out there. Tons of exclusive galleries coming, so keep your eye on Project Nerd. As well as the interviews, which Brian Polito already went live. Scott Drummond's live this week. All those interviews. I think the most important thing we have to cover, obviously, is the food. So everybody got... We led up to it. We built this expectation again. And I feel like it delivered again.
I feel like it more than delivered, because this year we didn't go with the places that we found. You know, as outsiders visiting Chicago, we found some truly good food there, I think. Food that we obviously talk about all the time and that we, you know, drive 9 hours to eat again every year. But this year, our good friend Gallo, who lives in Chicago, who's from Chicago, who knows Chicago things, kind of took us around and showed us the Chicago haunts, if you will. And we ate some really good food.
Italian sausage with Italian beef on top of it. I mean, like, is there anything else now in life? Like, is there anything else?
I mean, that pizza, Lou Malnati's, like, oh man, that was super good. And you guys didn't even get to go to breakfast with us. So Gallo took us to
Don't remind me.
Yeah, we went to 2 different breakfast places. And
he can brag about breakfast, Aaron.
Super legit.
We have Carbone the night before Adam got there. And the best story about Carbone is that is Night Mage and Co. So that the basically most of the Four Horsemen. So Stephen Griffin cosplay, Britt Nasty, Night Mage, and I feel like somebody else was with us too. RKG cosplay. All of them joined. They weren't sure about going with us because they didn't want to leave and come back. And we're like, it's early Thursday. The party hasn't really begun in the lobby. We're going to go eat. We ran into them again after they said no. And we're like, tacos. And Steven's like, no, this is tacos. I'm going. And so the rest of them were like, okay, we'll go too. And we're like, we promise it won't disappoint. By the time we left there, I don't think any of them were ready to go. They were all ready to get more tacos. It was like...
They were like, the best tacos of my life.
Yeah, Stephen Griffin
was... tacos like this.
Stephen Griffin goes, now I can't eat any tacos at home. I can't. I just can't find any tacos like this.
But ruined Taco Bell for him. Between the Italian steak sandwich, some Portillo's, and some deep dish... And I actually went to Hash Brown's a second time without Adam, unfortunately. it was even pretty good the second time too.
Oh man!
And the omelets. We went to 2 different breakfast places that were both pretty good. But yeah, we had some good food. I do like that after talking massive amounts of crap on Italian beef sandwiches, Aaron actually had an Italian beef sandwich and then wouldn't shut up about how good they are.
Which and also did I have a problem with saying, wow, I am so wrong?
Let's
sunk Tyler, my mouth in.
Before you get too excited on that one, that was a double whammy this weekend because White Castle, that she had never had and she talked mad crap on too. It turns out Aaron's actually a fan of White Castle as well because we did White Castle on Thursday. So
right. So you guys turns weren't out even when there.
When you form hard opinions about things you've never experienced or witnessed, hey, it turns out many times you're wrong.
Hold on. At the same time, I'm not that asshole who has a problem with saying, you know what? I was dead wrong about this.
Well, actually, most of the time you are.
Yeah, usually.
Not when it comes to food, okay?
Because a lot of times I feel, maybe just with food, but other things, a lot of times I think you know you're wrong, and you just double down out of spite.
You guys, I put those beefy sandwiches in my mouth, and I just caved.
I feel sorry for you about that.
No, White Castle was so delicious. I hate fast food. And there was something like the bun is just so soft and
it's not soft. That's soggy. That's soggy.
No, no, no. I love the grease, and then you put the mustard on there. You got to put the mustard. Oh my gosh.
Adam's reactions.
And the onions.
That was the great part of this. As much as we've all traveled together in the past, for each of us to kind of domino in, Tyler, you were, I mean, just an hour or two away by the time Aaron and I and Gallo were there. And so we went and got White Castle because I know Tyler and Adam usually fight it. And Aaron, I don't even think was going to eat the White Castle. I think Gallo just ran me by there to get White Castle. But when you go to White Castle, you don't just get a little bit of White Castle. You get enough White Castle to feed an army.
I'm pretty sure there's still White Castle in Gallo's fridge.
Probably at this point.
I'm betting his wife got rid of that. She was non-pleased about the White Castle being in the
fridge. No, she was eating She was eating
it. I feel like the best meal I had the entire weekend, and we had some really good meals. Gallo's wife did make us homemade lasagna the last night I was in town after everyone else had left town.
Look at Adam's face. Look at Adam's face. Adam, you left too early.
I'm still just kind of a little bit upset by that in a different way.
I didn't even work on Monday. I totally could have stayed and had lasagna Sunday night.
Yeah.
I mean, it was real good.
I was wondering.
How good was it? Tell me how good it was, Tyler.
It was pretty amazing.
Oh, really? Was it?
Okay. So anyways,
Was it better than my lasagna, Tyler?
Oh, I get where she's going with
it. Oh, is that what, is this what it's all about?
Obviously, that's what this is all about.
Yes. So
I was curious.
What? We're not friends anymore.
So for me, Tyler, I was curious because we were leaving the convention and we left about an hour before it closed on Sunday. And Gal is like, wait, you want to get out of here? Your flight's not till later. And it was still the four of us. I know Adam had just taken off too. And, I'm like, we can grab some food on the way to the airport. And he just took me straight to the airport to drop me off. So now it all makes sense because he had dinner plans already. So he was like, no, we'll eat before. And then he must have got that elusive text, that secretive text there that said lasagna's here. And he's like, all right, see you, Iggy. You have a good one.
But yeah, it was real good.
But food galore, as always. Cosplay galore for C2E2. And then, as we said, we have a number of interviews coming up. We did have a memory card error. So... our Valiant interviews, luckily, Matt, our comic book guy, is running into them at Emerald City Comic Con here in just a week or two, is where we'll have coverage from that show. So he'll be getting those interviews, and then we'll be lining up a few other ones that we had messed up on, but that's okay. Memory cards don't always like to play nice with us, typical, but we do have some great interviews in the meantime, still pumping out, like I said, Polito and Drummond this week. Of course, a lot more to come. So a number of amazing things out of C2E2. Us four are off for April, but I believe we have the book show in Chicago that'll be covered. Unfortunately, Tribeca, I need to remove it from our slate, won't be covered. We have press passes to it, but Tyler B. and co. are going to be relocating at that time. And then, of course, Emerald City Comic Con, as I just referenced earlier. Matt, Marissa, Sarah, a number of others that are up in the Seattle area will get us some coverage out of that show. So just keep your eyes out until you see us again at Planet Comic Con, where we'll be debuting our publishing tables, Project Nerd Publishing. So excited for that.
So,
time now.
Yes. This week I got to see two amazing movies, and I think it's really cool because I think I saw a movie that you guys didn't get to see. It was called Zootopia. Did anybody see that?
No, but I keep hearing great things about it.
Huh. Well, that's cool. I also saw this other movie, which is like, okay, this is a phenomenon.
Hold on. Before we go into it, I think we need to properly lead into Batman versus Superman. So,
what? No. This is a phenomenon of what I was going to say. This is the first time that all four of us have seen a movie like the opening weekend.
No, back in the day, we used to do this. This is the first time maybe in the past couple of years where we've all like been stupid busy. But back when we started all this.
For a podcast.
Before we started the move, back when we started the podcast, the first couple of years, that was part of the goal was we'd go see the movie and then sit down and discuss
it. We would go see them together most of the time.
Yeah.
That was the goal.
Was the last time we all saw a movie together? Jeez.
Been a couple of years.
We don't even all live in the same place anymore. So,
man, I saw Batman vs Superman by myself.
Adam and I still see movies together.
Like a champ.
This is true.
So, anyways, Batman vs Superman. I think it's safe to say because Aaron, you're exactly right. Like people, it's to the point where you're seeing it on social media where people are like, okay, shut up. We get it. You either hate it or you love it. It seems to be polarizing. I think we all hit the scale here of Aaron really enjoyed it.
Polarizing equates that there's like two equal but opposite sides of the
thank you. I appreciate
this
that.
This is not polarizing.
There's a lot of people that love it, dude. There's a lot of people commenting positively on it.
Right. I feel like this is a political conversation where people just aren't going to see eye to eye. First of all, I haven't even really
That's why I was trying to stop you before you even got
I haven't even said my opinion. So not even on my page. I was waiting for this conversation.
Okay. So here's the deal.
Before I shared it.
It's a bad movie. You obviously loved it.
Never mind. Here's the deal. I was going to say, okay, you get 30 seconds uninterrupted, each person, to express your opinion on it. 30 seconds. Hold on. Let me get my timer ready. And guess what, Aaron? I'm going to let you go first, even. No, you don't want to go first? You do?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I'm ready for this.
Let me get my timer.
Okay.
30 seconds.
I'm going to get hammered afterwards.
30 seconds.
I don't care. Okay. Nope. So I went to see this movie, Batman vs. Superman. I had extremely low hopes. I thought it was going to be utter shit. And you know what? Turns out it was a good movie. Just flat out a good movie. The entire time I was watching it saying, what the hell is wrong with this movie? Okay, sure. The beginning, we're watching his parents die again. It's really super boring. Why is this going on? And then the whole time I'm like, why does everybody hate this movie so bad? There's nothing wrong.
Oh, she's muted. Her time is up. So, all right. I'm going to go in my rotation here, what I see. So, Adam.
Wait, can I just finish my sentence?
Yeah, okay, finish your sentence. Hurry.
My only conclusion is that diehard nerds are picking it apart because they're just diehard nerds and they're fans of the material, and that's it. And that's the only reason.
All right, Adam, 30 seconds.
Okay. I also saw Batman vs. Superman. I, however, did not see a good movie. I saw decent fight scenes, pretty good CGI, really bad story, fairly bad directing, and I would guess kind of sloppy editing. Pacing seemed bad. There was a lot of unnecessary things in there. Also, a bunch of stuff I didn't understand, which hopefully I'll expand on later.
And that's how you do 30 seconds. Congratulations. All right, Tyler, let's see if you can get this in 30 seconds.
Give me 1 second to collect myself, because there's a lot of things to cover.
I'm starting it now.
I saw a terrible movie. Fuck Zack Snyder. Everything about it was terrible. It takes a special kind of anti-talent to put all of those characters into a movie and still make it unbearably boring. And the entire plot of what little there was hinged on the world's greatest detective being a fucking moron and a mistaken identity thing that you usually is reserved for Shakespearean comedies and farces. Oh, guess what? Their moms have the same name. Fight over.
So, all right. Let me start my 30 seconds with that. So, good variety of opinions so far. My opinion's going to be different. Also, I think I'm probably in between Adam and Aaron. The movie was boring. It was long. The script was terrible. The characters were bastardized, as Tyler pointed out. But there was some value to it. I felt Ben Affleck as Batman and him with irons as Alfred gave me hope for the standalone movie coming up. Gadot, if you doubt her as Wonder Woman anymore, like, you're an idiot. She was fantastic. This fight scene of them three coming together had great value. I'm out of time. I would like to go on, but I have to respect the rules. But all right. So there you go. 30 seconds each, uninterrupted opinions. To move the conversation, I think the best way to talk about it is to look at certain pieces together. So I'm going to assume we're all going to agree on this. Lex Luthor.
Horrible.
Wow, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Worst part of the whole movie.
I couldn't decide at first what he was trying to go for. Like, is he an evil millennial Mark Zuckerberg kind of person?
Well, he digresses through the movie without any explanation.
For no reason, gets weirder and crazier. And you have an entire plot point wrapped around a jar of piss. Like, I can't.
That was pretty bad. He was the worst Lex Luthor there ever was. Him and pacing, not pacing, but sequencing, because sequencing was not on in the movie.
Well, the editing was god awful.
I would totally agree with that.
The editing and the pacing and the plotting of the movie was bad enough, and then you throw in like 12, maybe it's a dream sequence, not a dream sequence thing.
So we're going off that.
But I'm going to go ahead and say, I'm going to go back and say that the reason why I can let that, the sequence slide is because I have like ADD. So okay. I'm cool with that.
Lex Luthor, Adam, do you want to share an opinion? Since these two have obviously moved on.
Well, I mean, so contrary to Aaron's belief that only like the people who are super familiar with the material dislike the movie, I've read one Batman story. I've read zero Superman stories, zero Wonder Woman stories. I think you're seeing where I'm going with this. I didn't mind Lex Luthor. I thought Eisenberg did a good job with the character that they gave him. And I think most of the actors did a good job with the characters that they gave them. I don't think they gave them good characters. And so he's a wash for me, probably. I found him enjoyable in the movie, but was confusing, like most of the other characters, making decisions that I have no idea why they're making them or how they're making them or
I get what you're saying, and I would agree with it to some level. What we're introduced to with Jesse Eisenberg early is a character you feel can fit into the movie, but it's not Lex Luthor at all. His speeches, his awkwardness of being this super intellect, they're trying to paint him as a super intellectual, awkward, has the enemies and all that. And Lex Luthor automatically hates, you know, Superman for so many reasons. And you saw that good, but it felt like, I think I've seen it said many a times over, is he was trying too much to be Heath Ledger as Joker as opposed to actually Lex Luthor.
Yeah, I don't even think he was doing that, because at least like there was so much ambiguity to Heath Ledger's Joker, but it worked. In his, it's just like, I don't know what he was doing. Like, he made some decisions and they made no sense. And part of that is the script. Part of that is Zack Snyder's fantastic at wasting good actors or making good actors look bad. Cause I like Jesse Eisenberg a lot. And at first I was willing to let him go with it and see what he was going to do with it. But I think the worst part about it is it was a bad performance that when you're watching it, you feel like he thought it was really good. I think it was the saddest.
But that probably can explain Eisenberg in any movie, is he probably thinks he's much better than he's actually.
I don't know. I really like him. Like, I think he's been really good in a lot of things.
He did great as Michael Cera in Zombieland, and he was fantastic as Zuckerberg in,
now you're just being an asshole.
Social Network. But other than that, I've not been overly impressed with him.
He's not a very good actor as anything other than himself.
And it's been made very clear by many of people, pretty much anybody that knows him, even his friends, that he's not a very likable person. So I don't know. Okay, so moving on, another big thing that was a big topic beforehand and after, and we'll talk about the main three in a second, but the introduction of the other Justice League characters.
I feel like the nicest thing you could say about this movie is that it was an okay 3-hour trailer for the Justice League movie. Because that's what it all boils down
but
to.
But the way they introduced
it wasn't 3 hours.
Right at the climax moment, they introduced them by these scenes on a flash drive that were way too long. And
well, they'd already introduced the Flash sort of with a beard and some armor and some flash.
You can barely tell it was the Flash, though. The only reason you know it's the Flash is if your understanding of canon, and that's the Flash is notorious for doing that.
Well, and it might or may not have been real because he had a weird fucked up dream with flying.
And he woke up. And then,
and then there was a Flash, and then he woke up. And
so
who can tell me that this was a good movie? It was a straight face.
There are so many people who love this movie. People who have film degrees, people who make films love this movie. People who are not super big fans of...
I don't know.
But and Adam, I know, but you're middle of the ground. Hate it like as much as Tyler does.
Aaron, a semi-prophetic dream within a semi-prophetic dream from a character who's never had a prophetic dream in his 76 years of existence.
I cannot help but feel like all of these complaints are
fantastic that Tyler is muted right now, because whatever he's mumbling probably
it's is not too finicky. It's a superhero movie and it was fun and I liked it.
It's so, not too finicky to bitch about an unexplained dream sequence within a dream sequence within a... Because I'm not being finicky. This was a poorly made movie.
Did you say it was fun? That's the last word I used to describe that movie.
I said it was fun. It was entertaining. And I don't know why you guys think it's boring at all, ever. Like, it was nonstop entertaining.
It was nonstop, not nothing.
I was sitting there thinking, I know it's 2.5 hours long. We have to be at like 2 hours and 15 minutes by now.
This is why
one of them will be Superman or Batman at some point, maybe. I don't know.
I just really can't help but say I liked it.
Let's see if we get a positive spin from the guys on this one, Aaron, because this one I am 100% behind. As much as I was not happy with how Doomsday came to be and the initial way he looked, the three of the end and the whole spear sequence, we won't even go into that. Lois Lane completely understanding what was going on and all this happening. We won't go into any of that detail. But the three of them together fighting Doomsday, you gotta give that scene a good thumbs up, right?
It was okay. It made up for how not good him and Batman fighting was. The only thing is like they talk about how he's undefeatable without the spear. But I feel like if they had let Wonder Woman go a couple more rounds with him, she was going to fucking finish him off.
She was kicking his ass. Yeah.
Although you'd say you don't bring up the spear, but when it's all said and done, like, you know, there's like two other people that could have used the spear that wouldn't have died by using
it. Wait, you're saying Wonder Woman, who's pretty much as strong as Superman, could have taken that spear and not been affected by the kryptonite?
Yeah, and...
Oh, okay.
And in the meantime, she had already, like, chopped off one of his fucking arms and kicked the shit
out. But wait, they were...
You guys don't think this sounds finicky at all?
They were like, fighting over there while Lois Lane instantly somebody... Which one of those three characters has telepathy powers?
Because it's not finicky to point
Lois
out
Lane to go get the
giant
spear.
Plot hole that you use to kill the main character of the movie.
Okay, but these are things that happen in all movies constantly. Like, this is a constant thing.
I think you're underestimating Tyler here, though. Tyler negatively judges every movie if he can. Like, Tyler...
No, I don't.
It was irritating during it, and I hated it. And I hated it when, like, they did the whole thing where he stops and says, I love you. And there was this big pause, and they're, like, holding each other. And it's like, are you kidding me? You need to go kill the bad guy right now. Or have somebody else do it. But at the same time, oh, well, that's the way that it played out. And it was
so Amy Adams.
That's where
she's
so
good in so many things. And
a lot of my friends are big movie buffs and have really important opinions. And they're not idiots. And they love this movie. Like, I would say that 80% of the people who watch movies on my friends list loved this movie, hands down. So I would say that most of the people out there probably love this movie.
I'd have to agree. The majority of my friends list had more positive things to say. I don't know if so many of them loved it, but there was definitely they appreciated parts of it. They enjoyed it. And that's kind of where I fall is the first half hour of it, if it would have continued on track with what that was doing, I would have probably not made it all the way through the movie even. But I felt like it starts to redeem itself. You get through this cluster cuss of a half hour, then you get into this pissing contest for a while. But then I feel like you do set up this back part of the movie that if we could have just done more of what was going on in the back, even with those plot holes, even leave them, I don't even care, leave them in there. Just give us more of what that last third of the movie was. You have a good movie. And the problem is I think it all goes down to the editing, the writing, and the directing. But like I said, I think what we saw with Affleck and Irons, man, I'm ready for that standalone Batman movie because that scene in the warehouse is the single, besides the him killing everybody, because Batman doesn't do that, is probably the single greatest action sequence in a Batman movie ever.
It was pretty solid. He got his ass kicked a little bit more than I would like by just some dudes.
But this is an older Batman, too. This is an older...
I don't know.
He's worn down.
He's also significantly dumber. Like, he's able to be outsmarted pretty easily by Lex Luthor because he wrote him a couple letters and the end. Like, he's pretty dumb. He did some dumb things.
He acted a lot more emotionally than Batman typically does. I'm okay with those versions of Batman because you're looking at a Batman who's already lost Robin. You're looking at a Batman who's been jaded by 20-plus years of this. So he's acting more emotionally.
You're cool with him. You're cool with him branding people.
No. The branding and killing. People. The branding and killing for both him and Superman is just something Zack Snyder had to get in there for some reason. And to me, if there's anything you talk about spear plot holes, we talk about the other things. If there's anything that bothers me the most about it, is that these characters for 75 plus years have stood against that, and we're seeing it over and over again in Man of Steel in this movie. So,
yeah.
I
don't know. Zack Snyder's version of dark and edgy and gritty is that kid in high school who wears all black because he has like feelings and stuff.
So let's let Adam interject because we're all very passionate about our opinions on this.
Well, I've got, I mean, I guess the things that really got to me were that Superman is in trouble with the government because they think he used a gun to shoot people with bullets. Like, no. One,
exactly.
Why would he do that? That's a ridiculous, ridiculous, ridiculous thing. Batman hates Superman or is afraid of Superman because Superman was able to destroy part of a city while he was in a fight. And then the first chance Batman gets to take out the bad guy away from his city, his solution is to lure that bad guy into his own city to fight him there where they might destroy a bunch of property.
Hold on. So Zack Snyder covered this. He mentioned in what is it, Anderson Cooper? What's the news guy's name?
Yeah, that's it.
News coverage. That luckily it's late hours in downtown, so the city's pretty much empty. And then Batman does mention he took him to the docks, the abandoned docks part of Gotham. But still closer to the city than they were. But
I mean, yeah, we could have fought them nowhere near the city, in the middle of a bay between Gotham and Metropolis, which I didn't know were only separated by a bay, on a deserted island where nobody lives. Or we could go where, you know, anybody could be downtown in the abandoned docks, because homeless people don't go to abandoned parts of cities or anything like that. So there's certainly not going to be a bunch of people there. But that's what I mean. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Why would he do that?
He's cleaning up Gotham. You got to get the homeless out of there.
I don't know. I think it says something about the movie that the best part about it was Wonder Woman / Diana Prince, who has all of 5 scenes and maybe 3 lines. And most of the time is just standing around smiling in nice dresses and then kicks a little bit of ass at the end.
So I think we all are on the same page. Ben Affleck is Batman. Pretty solid. Gal Gadot is Wonder Woman. Incredibly solid. Let's just keep this in mind. As much as everybody's worried about Zack Snyder's continued handprint on this universe, neither the Batman standalone film or the Wonder Woman origin film coming up are directed by him. So things to look forward to, at least, right?
I don't know.
So anyways, we are out of time. We're not going to have time to do final thoughts. Batman versus Superman was our final thought there. The opinions are everywhere. They're running rampant. One thing I did want to mention, Gizmodo, I will plug that, has a spoiler FAQ of Justice, and I'll share it with this group here afterwards because I think Tyler and Adam will get a kick out of it. But something that's really fun to read. Make sure you've already seen the movie, obviously. If you have opinions, just like with anything else we discussed this week and any week before, feel free to let us know in the comments on Project Nerd, on Podbean, on Facebook, other social media where we share it. But other than that, we're going to be out of time here. So we're going to wrap it up for episode 116.
I do want to call out Diane Lane's fantastic performance in continuing the long tradition of the Kents telling Superman to fuck the Earth. You don't owe them anything. Don't help people.
So with that, Batman vs. Superman, let us know your thoughts. Everybody is sharing their opinions on it. And they are... Sorry, Tyler, they are pretty polarizing. It seems I get that Adam and I are somewhere in the middle, but it feels like 90% of the world is either on one side or the other. But other than that, we will catch you next week. Same nerd time. Same nerd channel.
Bye.